grow on anything that you haven't put any money on.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation here at Belmont several months ago. I bet two horses out there. One horse has scratched the gate. My third horse proceeds to win laughing all the way. I chose to put him in with a notation on my Rohan model that my number two horse was scratched at the gate.
I would be more tempted simply go, if I were using a machine that saved the race particularly, just go back, scratch the horse, and put whatever his new numbers were.
Yeah. Well, I did it manually.
Up to you. Yeah. I also would say, how badly do I need that race? If it's one of seven six furlongs, if in Monmouth, they run a lot of six furlongs. If it was just one of those six furlongs that day, who cares? Let it slide. But if it's, you know, the only mile 16th you're likely to see in 2 days, yeah, you want it in there.
Well, I'm a weekend player.
Okay, well, in that case, yeah, I definitely keep it in. Just do whatever is reasonable. Just remember, you're going to... Yeah. Just remember, you're going to be putting money on what you put down here. This is not a casual exercise. This is going to determine what you bet. And if you look and you find, you know, a horse that looks just great with that model and he has wonderful early pace, and you think this horse can dominate early, and look over there, I don't think so. He can dominate early, but he can get caught, because that's what the track is saying to you. There's two components. There's a matchup component, and then there's a track component. And the model, particularly, is about the track component and, of course, the handicapper. So you have to pay attention. Yes, sir.
Dick, from your experience,
mm-hmm.
and Tom may answer question two, I appreciate it. How often have you found the California tracks changing totally, or even changing somewhat, that it screws up your model? How fast can you pick up the change in that track? How long is it likely to last before it changes again or reverts back again? What kind of experience have you had with that?
Take it, Tommy.
We're kind of blessed with very consistent surfaces on the West Coast. They do change, just like form changes in a medium. I mean, there's all of a sudden, for a couple of weeks at a time, you can't explain why certain horses are winning. And generally, there's just certain waves of forms. Horses come into form, a lot of them are in form, and all of a sudden they begin to go out, others come into form. There's always, in any long meeting, things like that that happen for a week and a half at a time. You can't explain it. The model changes a little more frequently than that. Santa Anita in a sprint is basically an early pace racetrack, although not as much as it used to be, and in the routes it's slightly sustained. And it will change as much as, say, 2 weeks at a time, and then revert back to type. I'll generally start to play after the second or third race, but it's changed. As long as those races aren't races that I'll look at and say, I know why this one went early, it's because it was only one front-running type in a race. That's why it was early. So if it's a truly run race at a decent class level, and if it happens a couple or three times, I'll generally at least start to play tentatively on a new model. And that's basically all we get. There are just a few changes during a meeting like that. But when you react to them, you're well ahead of the crowd, because I would prefer to have major changes, to be honest with you, because of what we do. Because every time it changes, generally we're in the forefront of the change and cashing much better prices than we were, say, a week earlier. And then when it goes back to tight, then we have to go back to the 6 and 7 pound mutuals.
Yeah. My first year, I hated rain. My second year, I was praying for rain, because I knew what would happen, and 99% of the people out there simply didn't know what would happen. I hear from the East Coast all the time, well, my model only lasts 3 days, and it rains, and I got to start over. It freezes, I got to start over. I said, that's wonderful. A one-day model is a very valuable thing. A one-race model is a valuable thing. Use it.
Are you using the same thing Tom was just saying, that if you've got your model and you get three or four races in a row with a model which don't fit the model,
I don't wait that long. Okay, I will look, when I get one race in a row that's aberrant, let's say, looking at that, all of a sudden, a horse wins like this.
I'm about to take a break, though. 4, 1,
five, three, this horse went. Tilt! First thing, this is definitely a loss for me. There's no way I would ever bet that horse. The second thing, I have to now say, wait a minute. There's two possibilities. I made a mistake, I missed something, or the track has changed. Now, if I go back and I go, dummy, this horse has a 2-second advantage at the second call. He can dominate this pace. He can just lap. He can slow up. He can do anything he wants. He's the lone E, the lone front runner. Yeah, I blew it. My fault. Draw lines through that. It's an anomalous race. The matchup overpowered anything the track could do. On the other hand, if I look at it and say, this race should have gone the way I predict, there's nothing wrong. There's 3 early horses, 3 pressers, 3 sustained. The matchup is fine. Everything's fine. If I can't answer that question, I back way off on my next bet. And by the third bet, I've switched to early. I've done it. I don't wait days and races and races because I'm not going to pass those races. If you wanted to sit back and say, hands off, no. But it's in the switches that you get the good prices. In Southern California, we aren't the only ones who have noticed over the last 50 years that Santa Anita tends to run a little early. Other people have kind of picked up on this fact. And so, it's great. They are still betting Del Mar as an early track. It hasn't been early for 2 years. Well, give them another 10 years and they'll pick up on that one too. But in the meantime, let's you know, make hay while the sun shines or the rain falls or whatever. Okay? So it's the quicker you are with it, the more you'll be rewarded.
2 races and you're gone.
Oh yeah. If I can't explain them in another way, if I look down and say, "Oh, the lone E," okay, that's it's nothing, you know. And it's usually the lone front runner. Front runners are the front runners, you know, win every race. They don't lose. Sustained horses never win a race. They inherit them. Just by the very nature of being sustained. The front runners, the early horses always either win or lose. The sustained horses inherit races. And so it's the front runners that you really, particularly in North American racing, where the breeding and everything is pointed at early speed, that's what you have to pay attention to. And the lone early horse just has such an advantage that you can forgive something like that line. And I don't think, I probably wouldn't put it in my model. I just say, okay, it was an anomaly. I don't need it. You know? Yeah.
I noticed one other situation where a line like that, okay, you're not ready to switch on it. And that, it happened to me at Garden State. There was a race where I had 5 horses that, believe it or not, were all within .11 on factor W. And a 5 in one category and a 1 were so close to one another that it didn't make too much sense.
Then that's, you know, again, common sense says,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Just use what.
Horrible tasting stuff.
Oh, now that we've watched Tommy vomit, we. Now wait a minute. His head spins around next. Anything else?
Another 5:40. That's the reason we're going to take a break. Finish the last subject. We ever get a certain person away from
Hey, I am just answering questions. This is the last question.
On your profile or your model here, you have the percent early or percent median, post position and actual.
No, predicted.
Predicted and actual.
Yeah.
If you start seeing big deviations in there, you adjust your...
Well, it's kind of a way, I would use that, and I don't track it much anymore. I was using that to see how accurate the prediction was. Particularly, let's say you're early on in the Hollywood meet, and they're all coming from Santa Anita, or you're early on in the Belmont meet, and they're all coming from Aqueduct. And everybody's dropping 2 points. They're going from high 69s to low 67s, or something like that. And so you're not going to be taking it quite as seriously. And if you have a mixed race, you're going to say, okay, they're all running 67s, but they're all being predicted to 69s because they changed tracks and the structure changed, something changed. That's what it's there for. Again, a reality check. Track everything. And if you find it useful, continue. Thank you.
10 up. Not even 20. Five up. Five up.
On one TV, we've got, I mentioned earlier, we've got Winnie the Pooh picking pace line. Now, we're going to do a little bit now about trouble lines, their effect on these races, when you can throw races out based on trouble lines. One of the things that, one point we want to make here, or I want to make, is that regardless of the pace line you pick, whether it's the last one, the one before, you've got to analyze the last one in terms of the horse's current form. Now, you don't have to use that in your computer, but you'd better analyze it, because if you just ignore it arbitrarily, you get yourself into a lot of trouble with a lot of these horses. I want to talk about trouble. Now, this is going to be a group discussion, so I'm going to take it from the floor. If anybody has a racing form, open it up to any sheet you want. And as you come across these trouble lines, that you've got some questions about what they actually represent and whether or not they're excusable in ignoring that race and going to another one, I'd like you to offer that. Anybody start with the first one? Way in the back.
Wide.
Okay, wide on the turn. Two turns are involved. A horse that goes wide on the clubhouse turn, which is the first turn, and at the 7/8 pole, the way it's usually written is that it's wide, fanned wide at the 7/8 or wide at the 7/8. And I want you to picture a race that's being run around that first turn. And to gain a chart maker's comment, a horse that's wide there is generally marking time against the field. In other words, everyone is still in full momentum, and a horse that goes wide at the 7/8 is virtually eliminated. You just can't make that back because no one's giving you any edge. You can't get back into the field, and if you do, you've really made a good effort. Now, that's an excusable race. That is serious trouble. It takes a lot to overcome that. You'd better not ignore that race. Does anybody know why? Because closers are generally wide. No one spreads a little hole in the inside and says, "Be my guest. Why don't you move through and win this race?" It doesn't happen that way. So if you're betting a closer and you've got a comment of wide, don't excuse a race because you better expect it to do the same thing today. If on the other hand, that pace line stands up, then you have a significant play there. But don't excuse it on closers. Excuse it on front runners because when that happens, they're really losing ground. Yes?
Are we getting into handicapping and how much or should we be aware?
Well, no, I'm not really all that big into trip handicapping. I do use the trouble lines, though, for this reason. I mean, if a horse is wide at the 7/8 and really makes a good move in a race to get up into the race, I consider that to be a very good performance. Okay, but as far as watching the televisions, that just drives me crazy. I mean, the horses that have trouble time and again. And so unless it says that in every line, that's a line to excuse. If it's the best line in the horse's fast performances, it's also a line to mentally upgrade. In the case of precedence that we were talking about earlier, remember he had to steady at the 3.5? That's significant prowess, but you haven't got any other line to use. So just mentally upgrade it and say that the horse might be a little better than I'm showing him. How about some others?
Just a quick thing. In your California form, you get more of a trouble line comment than we do. In the Eastern, we only always see just why, because then we got to move the foot one word you can get at the end of the line. You get that second line that they're putting in.
Okay, yeah, we do get a second line to put it in.
We very rarely see a wide 7/8 or wide 3/8. We can see wide, that's it, most of the time. So we don't know where it would be wide.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, then you have to ignore that comment.
Or look at the charts.
Or look at the charts, that's right.
But this tremolo is the first race. It's last one back at Saratoga. Fourth wide on the turn.
Okay. And it doesn't say which turn.
That'll only be a one-turn.
One-turn race? Okay. Then if he's a closer, you'll probably get forced wide again.
It's a route race, so you didn't know there either.
Okay, but generally speaking, like in a Western form, it will say forced wide on the turn. That will always be the 3/8 to the quarter pole, unless it says 7/8. So it's almost always that. I mean, it is always that the far turn into the stretch, unless it designates otherwise.
I see wide first turn.
I thought I had two. Okay. Wide at 7/8.
No, not 7/8, wide first.
Wide first turn. That's the same thing.
This is a better explanation, but they drop down the line and they put on
okay. We do get a better explanation, but yours is usable. Okay, and we're just talking about races. You know, we're not going to get too deeply into these. We want everyone to understand what each of these lines mean and the significance of each line. Therefore, you know whether to throw it out or not in terms of going to another race. Let's have some more that you might run across. Pardon?
Poor
N. Poor N. Anybody?
Poor
N. Okay, that's a good one. You see it occasionally. What do you think that might be symptomatic of? Okay, would you excuse it then? Let's talk about that. Would you excuse that line? I do not. Because if the horse all of a sudden bore in, it is a sign of a sore horse. And if the horse bore in, I don't want him in his next race.
Bore out.
Bore out, same way.
Stopped.
Stopped, okay. What do you think that meant? If he gets Lasix today, you might give another look at him. But a horse that stopped, what about a horse that refuses to load? Now here's a horse, now let's just take this for a moment. Horse refuses to load, runs a bad race. Do you excuse the race?
Yes.
I generally do not. And the reason I do not is that there's usually a reason for him refusing to load all of a sudden, isn't there? Now unless this is a very young horse, a horse with no experience at all of a sudden you'll get a line that says refuses to load. And I'll tell you, more often than not, the next race will be even worse. Because it's symptomatic of some problems. All of a sudden, a horse that has never had any problem going into the gate, refuses to load, is a serious problem. Let's talk about some gate things that might happen in here, and whether you can excuse them or not.
Fractious at the gate.
Same thing. Fractious at the gate. That's a problem.
Bobbled at the start.
Okay, let's take them one at a time. Bobbled at the start. Does everybody know what bobbled is?
No.
Horse just kind of loses his bearings. Just all of a sudden is disjointed or out of sequence. It literally, the horse bobbles. Of course, I'm no horse psychologist, but the impression is that the horse is kind of all of a sudden disjointed, in disarray. That can be a serious problem.
Difference between that and stumbled?
Well, say stumbled is an obvious thing. A horse stumbles. When a horse stumbles, a lot will depend on how the horse actually performs after stumbling. If it's a front-running type and he stumbles, this horse should definitely make some kind of a move in the turn time fraction. So if he stumbles, he should accelerate to get into the race if he's in any kind of form at all. If he stumbles and just runs at the back of the pack all the way around, I never touch him in the next starts.
Broken tangle.
Broken and tangle. That's serious also. I mean, all of a sudden, if you cross both your arms, cross both your legs, and try to run. Okay? That's very serious. Broken and tangle. I will excuse that race if the horse shows run after that. So you got to be careful now that it's not a problem that's going to keep recurring. But the horse should definitely... Horse broke slowly. Let's talk about broke slowly. A closer that breaks slowly isn't the same as a horse that's normally up front that breaks slowly. But after breaking slowly, this horse has got to show you some run or you don't excuse that race. It's a serious problem because to get that comment, the horse has to be noticeably behind or the chart maker won't make the call. So the horse, when the gate's open, and you've all made this kind of a play, the gate's open and here's your horse. You know, the one you thought was going to be up there is way back here. You know, he's a couple of lengths behind immediately when the gate's open. That's a serious problem. But then, how many times have you seen that horse then come rushing up through the pack to try to get into the race? Haven't you seen that a lot? Okay, now that's a healthy sign. That horse is wanting to run. It just was eliminated out of the gate. You've also seen your horse break slowly and then stay there. And that one I don't like to excuse.
Wait a minute, Tom, because oftentimes you can see a jockey with a horse like that, and they're just out for a romp rather than participating in the race because he's so far behind.
The horse isn't urged at all. Okay, let's grade that for a moment. First of all, how strong do you suppose that horse is in relation to the rider? When the gate opens in that first quarter mile, when the horse comes braking poorly, should definitely make a move at the horses in front of it. I don't mean if the horse breaks very, very badly, will still make some kind of a run in a race. Doesn't necessarily have to threaten anybody. But the horse has got to make some kind of a run in a race for you to think that the horse is going to run well next time. Because they tend to start breaking slowly time after time until they're taking out a train. But I'm not saying that the rider's going to urge his horse to gain any kind of a placing in the race. But the horse is definitely going to make some kind of a move toward the horses in front of it, or you don't want to be playing that horse next time. And that's not, the rider will never pull a stick on that horse. So you're right in that respect. But the horse is definitely strong enough to pull its way up toward the other horses in front of it. If you disagree with that, just holler.
Another comment.
Go ahead.
Broke to outside or broke to inside?
Well, okay, let's take them one at a time. What about broke to the outside or broke to the inside?
Another form of poverty.
Well,
another form of soreness?
Not necessarily. Watch the gate open sometime, and there will often be some kind of a horse in the field that will go this way or go this way out of the gate. Now, what do you think? Is that serious? Yeah, because you run sideways for a moment, doesn't it? Now, if the horse is also a bad actor to start with, I wouldn't touch it next time anyway. But if the horse is usually a well-performing horse and shows no signs between then and the next race that there's something wrong, then I would excuse that race. Because the horse literally runs sideways out of there. And then if he recovers and runs in the money, he's going to be disqualified out of it anyway for whoever he ran sideways against.
How about reared?
Broken ear or reared. What do you think? Is that serious? Yeah, it is. Those horses, I mean, when you break an ear, if the horse performs well after breaking an ear, you can really upgrade the horse next time. And again, it's just like any other thing that we talked about. The horse should still make some kind of a move in that race to demonstrate some kind of fitness. Because you got to remember, in a 12-horse field, there are probably 7 horses that are in horrible condition. So if you don't make a move against some of those 7 horses, you got a problem too. But it's an excusable race. Yes?
Check.
Right. Does everybody know what checked means? There's several of them here. What about steadied, checked, and took up? Which do you suppose might be the most serious? Took up. Because that's an absolute loss of momentum. And that's a serious problem, especially if the horse is in position. For example, took up at the quarter pole. Well, that means at the two-thirds point of the race, when this horse is tired, just like every other horse, and he is taken up, if he makes another move again, that's really a great sign. If he doesn't, that's okay too. If he was in a position to be near the winner or a chance to get a major piece of the check, that's a good performance. And took up is a serious problem. Checked or steadied may or may not be. You just have to judge that on your own. It's an excusable race depending on what actually happened after that. But it's not as serious as took up. And sometimes some horses wind up benefiting from having steadied at one point in a race.
Did you say took up is excusable or not?
Yes, it is.
It is excusable.
Yes. And see, what happens when they say took up, you literally take the horse back. You stop. And, I mean, you don't just stop momentum, but you literally lose your momentum in the race. Yeah, you try to get it going again. But it's almost impossible to recover. When they took up inside the eighth pole, especially if the horse wasn't backing up sharply, because if the horse was really losing a lot of ground and took up, it was probably going to finish almost that badly in the first place. But if the horse was actually competing at the eighth pole and took up, that is really serious, and it's an excusable race for sure, as long as you have a better race to use. Yes?
They had a race at St. Mel's Spur last week.